Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome back to the Redemption Report podcast. Today I have a new friend of mine that I met at church, and so I'm just getting to meet Christine. So thank you for joining us here on the podcast.
Yes.
So Christine, I don't know you well at all. We got to talk a little bit about some puppetry. I know you're involved in that a little bit, and I know you've done some of the other artistic things, but can you tell me just a little bit about yourself? Like, who is Christine Langford?
Well, I am from Indianapolis.
Okay.
I came from a family, kind of a large family, baby boomer family of six, I say 6.5. I have like two younger sisters, two older sisters, and two older brothers.
Okay.
So I'm sort of like in the middle of all these working class family.
Sure.
I moved to Cincinnati in 1986 to pursue a degree in fashion design.
Really?
At the time, yeah. So I was at UC for about 6 years.
Okay.
I graduated in 92 from the design school there. And I decided while I was in that industry, I saw sort of the ugly underbelly of the fashion industry. Mm. I had the opportunity to work a couple of what I would call sweatshop
jobs. Even here in Cincinnati?
Even here in Cincinnati, they had costume shops, and it was pretty awful.
I've heard it's cutthroat, but I've never been a part of that industry. So.
And in New York, they had something that almost looked like slavery or what we call trafficking.
Okay.
Maybe a labor kind of trafficking that actually fueled the industry.
Wow.
And so when I graduated, I knew that I wanted to use those gifts and what I learned in school, but I didn't want to be part of the industry. And so, I started out making hats, and I sold them in different boutiques and wearable art galleries in the greater Cincinnati area, mostly in like Clifton area of Cincinnati, which is near UC, and Mount Adams has some shops and things that would carry my hats. And I also sketched and painted, and I started, showing my artwork and having different exhibits. And then a friend suggested that maybe I should try substitute teaching.
Okay.
So I started going in that direction, and I was pretty bad at it. At the time, they didn't care. As long as you had an undergraduate degree in something, you could substitute teach. So I did that for a while. And so that ended up in me going back to get a master's in art education. And so I taught art full time for a while. And while I was teaching art, I got really interested in shadow puppetry. And then I started to pursue that in a different kind of way. But I was never able to incorporate it into my art.
Yeah.
My art curriculum.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. So did you, going back to the hats, you were able to make hats. How many hats would you say that you've made in your life?
Not a lot, because they were really labor intensive.
I
tend to get, they were, to me, after a while, they were just
tedious.
Are we
talking like 10, 15 or 50 or 100?
I would say maybe 50 to 100.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And they were made out, and I was cutting them out of blue jeans, and I was dyeing the blue jeans.
Wow.
And I was, and it turned in, some of them had 22 pieces to them. And, it just got to be too much. And then people don't want to pay you for all that labor
for sure
that you put into
it.
Yeah. Some of them I hand embroidered, the ones that were made out of linen. And so,
Were these like big church hats, or
more? Oh, no. They were, stuff? Most of them, a lot of them were beanies.
Interesting.
Just beanies.
Okay.
Like, and then I had one that folded flat and folded up, pulled up like an accordion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those were the ones that had too many pieces to it. And and too much labor went into it. And then you couldn't get paid for all that labor.
Well, and probably if you're selling them out of boutique, the boutique owner doesn't know the story or the love behind it. So when a customer comes in, they don't know what they're actually looking at.
Yeah. But even after I stopped making them, it was like probably 14 or 15 years after I made the last one, when I actually was still, I saw the last one. You know, I'll be out somewhere and somebody would have the hat, would have on a hat. And I would usually just be mesmerized with the hat and trying to figure something. It was like, oh yeah, I made that.
So was that, did you ever approach anyone?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's got to feel like a whole, like a lot of joy or fulfillment that like, hey, I made something, someone else is choosing to wear that.
Yeah. And keep it and take care of it. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's cool. That's cool. It. Now you mentioned shadow puppetry. That was one thing that we had kind of talked about before. I don't know a ton about shadow puppetry, so I'd be happy if you could explain it. I do know
shadow puppets are, you know, most people think of hand, you know, you make the something with your hand, which is something I've never been able to do. But they're flat puppets. They're backlit against usually something like a white screen. You have a light, you have something that's translucent, a sheet or something, and you basically have a puppet. And they can be very, you can joint them, so they could be very fluidly moving, they can be very cartoon character-like, or they can be very elegant. It's a lot you can do with shadow puppets.
Are they stationary, or do they have movement in
them?
They
can, you can
have... Inverted marionette puppet.
Well, I think of puppets as they're either flat and just one shape,
okay,
you know, the shape of an elephant or something, or they're jointed, and it depends on how many joints you put in them, and they're capable of very fluent movement.
Okay.
And then sometimes I make them out of colored materials, so you can get actually colored
through
puppets
the sheet
against the screen. Okay. Yeah, if you have transparent and translucent colored materials, you cut them out.
Okay, that makes sense.
So yeah.
Wow. Yes. Okay. I know my daughter likes to watch a show. It's from the 90s. It had a whole variety of different puppetry called Bear in the Big Blue House.
Yeah.
But in there, there's this puppet called Shadow, and it's like a projection, but then that she tells like a funny nursery rhyme, but they use shadow puppetry in that little sketch. So
I've
been able to see it a little bit, and it's something certainly fascinating. I think the more and more different types of media we have today, sometimes we move away from some of those older ones. Like
basic
you don't really see puppets that often.
Right.
But shadow puppetry, I'm sure, even less. And so when you do reintroduce that, I'm sure the people of today, it's almost like new again.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because I took was it the blink before that? Probably 2018 or 2020 or no, 2020, there was no blink. 2018 or 2017, there was a blink, and I bought one shadow puppet in a box down there, and I had this little light I got from the dollar store behind it in a screen, and I had dropped the puppet in from the top, and people were so fascinated. And I think it was just because of the low tech. It was very low tech, and everything was so high tech down there, and they just couldn't believe it. They were like, how, you know? Is that a box? I was like, yeah, it's a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those who might listen or watch this and don't know, Blink is like a light festival that comes around to Cincinnati every few years. And they basically, I went to it once. It's basically just a bunch of walking around looking at lights or projections up on buildings. It was definitely cool. It's usually in October, so it can be on the cold side for sure.
But, yeah. The weather has cooperated. People expect it to be a little bit cool as long as it's not raining.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a few day event, and sometimes it's like, well, it's going to rain on that night, so everyone will show up on a different night. And so.
But this year is from the 17th through the 20th of October.
Okay.
Tuesday, Thursday through Sunday.
Are you participating?
I am one of the light installation artists this year.
Okay.
For Blink. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
That'd be cool.
Yeah. We're going to do color shadows.
Okay. Neat.
Yeah. With your body.
That has. I've seen a lot of work go into those things, and there's a variety of. It's not just paintings on walls, but as majority of what the architecture.
Yeah.
What it looks like. So.
Yeah, it's fun, and the drone shows. Don't miss the
oh, they're gonna do one of those
synchronized drone shows.
Okay. I've seen some of those online. I've never seen one in person, so that'd be,
yeah,
that'd
every
be
night
cool.
Wow. All 4 nights. So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, Christine, when can you tell us just a little bit? You said you grew up in Indianapolis.
Right.
When did you first hear the name of Jesus? Was it in your upbringing or was it later in life?
I went to church. You know, I know my mother used to take us to church and we just acted up the whole time.
Really? Okay.
And at that time, because I was a child during the 1960s, I think they actually took us to some kind of Bible study maybe once or twice a week during the school day.
Okay.
And I remember
your school
us,
did.
Yeah,
okay,
they
wow.
actually sent us to some kind of Bible study.
Okay, interesting.
And, you know, we acted really badly all the way there and all the way back. But I remember distinctly having that Bible study during the school day.
Interesting.
And I remember getting up. My mother would take us. We would go like on. She went more regularly than the children did.
Okay.
My father didn't go very much at all.
Okay.
I remember falling in love with this church down the street on the corner. And, you know, it would wake up and I would be missing. And I would be at church down the street. I always liked going to church for some reason. And there was something there, and there were these women who sang, and they cried while they were singing. And I was like, was very, I don't know, compelled. I was just captivated by them. Mm. So I would go to watch them sing, and I was moved by the music. I was probably about 8 years old. Yeah, when I was at church by myself.
Gotcha.
So I just got up and got dressed and went when everybody else was asleep. They knew where I was when they woke up.
That's really cool. That
yeah.
I know a lot of times music can be a controversial issue, but there's no doubt about it that it can be, like you said, very compelling. And when done well, it can really draw people to truth.
Yeah. I don't know if I was... got all the way to truth.
Okay.
But I was interested in, I liked being there.
Okay.
That's all. And that wore off.
Sure.
I think as I grew older, and I remember we would get dragged to church, you know,
so no longer
on
is
holidays.
Christine going out of her way. She's then being,
exactly.
Okay.
We would go to church and we would make fun of people the whole time. And that was my... experience, especially I'll say preteen,
okay,
to early teen, and then there was this dearth where there was like just nothing. There was nothing until I was a young adult, and what was going on at the time? At that time, I was about 23 years old, and I was not happy, and I could not understand why I was not happy.
Well, it sounds like you had just come out of the fashion, dreams of fashion industry. And
well,
coming
I hadn't
out of that.
Even went into it yet. Actually,
oh, okay.
I was an older student when I
see. Okay.
Went to UC. I was probably 27 when I started UC.
I see. Okay. So that's part of it. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm still in Indianapolis at that time. And I had a job. I had new clothes. I had a new car. I had boyfriends. I smoked a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. I was clubbing and partying, and everything sort of left me empty. Sort of left me. I didn't get along with anybody, and I was very angry.
Hmm.
I hated the people at work. I was fighting all day with them. I got home. I was fighting all day with my mother. I was fighting with whoever I was dating, and you know, it was, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. You know, it was something, and then I believe my thoughts were very, very evil. I was having some really evil thoughts that I could not control, and I knew something was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I was like, something is. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a vocabulary for it to even describe what I was going through. I had a friend who we used to club together and smoke a lot of weed together and get, you know, and just do the happy hour circuit. And she had had this experience where she had received Christ, and she was at a Pentecostal church or something, one of those holiness churches where the women only wear skirts. And she had told me about her experience of being touched by God and how she fell on the floor and started speaking in tongues. And I just thought, you know, that's just not my style.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. But her experience, I sort of made as a, you know, when somebody tells you about an experience like that and you've never had one, right, you think, okay, that's the way I have to experience.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen like that.
Yeah.
Me.
It's either that way or it's,
it's highly questionable,
right,
if it's not. So, I just remember I actually had a list of people I wanted to kill at the time. And my mother was at the top of that list. Mm. And my relationship with her was just, I don't know, something, just the sight of her infuriated me. Mm. And she was always, you know, it was just like, it was just bad. And I remember I was outside, I was washing my car. I remember what I was wearing because I didn't have many clothes that day. And, but I was just, and I had a thought that, and it was a beautiful day and there was a beautiful bush of roses right next to where I was. And the wind was, you know, it was a beautiful breeze and I couldn't figure out, you know, and I had this thought that there has to be something more to life than what I can see.
Yeah.
There has got to be something more to it. And, you know, and I looked up and these people were coming up the street. and I thought, oh, God, those Jehovah Witnesses again. I can't stand them. So they came up the driveway and they were like, well, you know, do you think you need Jesus? I was like, yes. I said something that sort of shocked me. Like, yes, I think everybody does, even if they don't know it. I was like, did I say that? And they were like, oh, well, she's already a Christian. So, you know, and they handed me a tract that had their address on it. And they said, oh, you know, we just started a new church in the neighborhood. And, you know, we just knocking on people's doors, asking them to come and visit and see what they think. This is what we believe. And they handed me the thing. And I was like, you know, I wanted them to stay a little longer so we could talk. And I just thought, okay, that's it. So they left, but at least they left me their address. So the next day I went to church. I hadn't been in a church in, 9 years. I was 23. I think I was 14.
Yeah,
last
you said
time
14.
I'd been
in
a church. And I was totally unchurched. I didn't know any scripture or I didn't know any Bible. I didn't know any religion, which was actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So was it Jehovah's Witness church or
no?
Okay.
No, they were not.
You thought
Witnesses.
They were, but they weren't. Okay,
everybody was a Jehovah's Witness to
okay.
me. No, I went the next day, and I just remember how awkward it was for me to even be. You know, how do you even how do you sit in a church? How do you? I don't know. I just went, and at the end of the, you know, the music was good, and you know, the sermon was good, and I thought, okay, this is kind of good. You know, I might even come back next week. But at the end, they say, if you want to know how to receive Christ, you know, come and we'll show you. From we'll take you through the scriptures, and we'll show you, and then we can pray a prayer and ask the, you know, if you want to. So I came. I went up. I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this. I'll try it. Try this religious stuff and see what happens. And so, the lady took me through the Romans Road, you know, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. And I can't remember the other ones, but
yeah, the wages of sin is death.
Death and
God,
the gift of God is eternal life. Mm-hmm. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected from the dead? I said, yeah. And do you want to pray to ask forgiveness for your sins and invite him into your life? I'm like, sure, let's do this thing. Yeah, so she had to lead me in prayer because I did not know. And so she asked me if I felt any different. I was like, I wanted to say hell no.
I'm in church, so I can't say.
But I said no. And I was so disappointed because I was expecting something to happen.
You didn't fall on the floor.
I didn't fall on the floor. I wasn't touched by the hand of God or anything. You know, it was just nothing. Uh-huh. And so I got in my car. You know, home was only about 5 minutes away. I started driving and something happened in the car. And what happened was it felt like I was standing under a waterfall. And it's like the water was like rushing over me and it was rushing straight through me. And I was just like, wow, what was that? What was that? I don't know what that was. But I got home. And my mother looked at me and she was almost like, but bring
ready
it.
For it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Here comes the monster that's going to jump, the monster of hostility that jumps out at her. And it wasn't there. And I was, and she was like, what happened to you? What really stands out to me about that time was that everything was different suddenly. Everything looked different. Everything sounded different. Everything was new. And I'd read the Bible on and off, but the words were just like, they were just jumping off the page. They were so active and they were just alive and everything was... You know, it's like, and I tell people that when I share my story, it's like all of life changed for me. I was like, my life has never been the same. Everything changed. Everything was new. Everything was different. Everything. And the way the presence of God came in and has been so, you know, no longer that far away ethereal God that maybe, oh, well, maybe that was God or maybe it wasn't God. I don't know. You know, it's kind of misty.
Yeah.
But God became so present and so real and so tangible, mm-hmm. just about you could, you know, it's just like, and that was not something I totally welcomed because I had no idea. I loved it, but at the same time, I had a great plan and a scheme to continue doing what I was doing, which was smoking a lot of weed, mm-hmm. You know, whatever I wanted to do with my boyfriend, you know, mm-hmm. and I had some habits I was not trying to break off. I was going to be content to do a lot of things and then, you know, come to church on Sunday and look real pious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was my plan.
Just add God to
the existing. Exactly.
Because your life's working out so well, running it yourself, right?
Right. Well, I don't think I saw it from that perspective, yeah. but at least I was still going to be the person in control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, you know, the journey of learning that they sent somebody over to do a one-on-one study with me, which was really needed. And then the people of that church, they had a, you know, old Southern preacher who was really kind of fantastic. He was good at what he did, and he treated everybody the same. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that. And they came over to visit one day. I found out that they have home visits because if you come in there and you receive Christ, they want to know that you, what happened. Did you really receive Christ?
Right.
And what they did was they started talking to my mother, who told him all the horror stories and all the horrible things I'd said to her and done to her. But she would stop and she would punctuate it with, but she sure is different now. What did you people do to her? You know, or what did she? And they were like, it wasn't us. It was like the Holy Spirit. It wasn't us. It was the Holy Spirit. They kept telling her that was not us. We did not do anything to your daughter to make her right. This is why she is right. And so I guess they were satisfied that it took. took. And I really knew the Lord. And so from there, it was just the journey of walking, or maybe I should say running away from God. Mm-hmm. I felt his presence. I've heard his voice. I remember being in a Bible study where people were like, well, how do you know the voice of God? I'm just like, really? You don't hear him? Mm. I'm usually trying not to hear God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to do my own thing and not hear God. But God has always been very present with me.
Yeah.
And the walk, the journey of finding out who God really is, an experience as not anything that you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue to just walk with God. When he says to hear him, to obey him, took a long time.
Yeah.
It actually took me about 8 years before I got on board with, okay, I'm going to let you run this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I look back from that, I'm thinking, boy, you really wasted a lot of time. You could have given in a lot earlier, and you'd probably be at a different stage of growth right now if you had, you know, chosen to really be a follower of Christ from the mm-hmm. beginning. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't in my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I appreciate backing up, like, the fact that you opened up about who you were and what your thoughts were, and even just kind of going down that road of sharing how angry you were and even what that was causing you to have desires towards.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a very real thing that a lot of people go through, but very few people will open up or share or don't know how to articulate it until they've moved either past it for better or for worse.
Right.
And so I think that really is true that, you know, without Christ, this is where we're at. I mean, scripture even says we were children of wrath, even as others.
Yes.
Like that. It sounds like that is exactly what you're describing. And then to go through, and I love how your experience was, there's got to be more. And that's like God working so clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
And then to have that divine appointment with those people coming up, it's like you have, I think as believers, we have to consider, you know, yes, when you go out and you reach out to people, there's going to be a lot of no's, there's going to be a lot of disinterest. But what about the Christines out there who are having those conversations with God?
Yeah.
If you aren't going out, you'll never have those opportunities to interact. And
and
again, God could have done a lot of different things, but had those two people not been walking right at that time, who
Very
knows what would have happened?
Appointment.
Yeah.
And I think my heart was, like I said, I was everything that the world had to offer. I tried it
mm-hmm.
and it just left me high and dry and angry. Very angry mm-hmm. and very empty. And I end up very just being in awe of the God who could take away the desires to smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was smoking it way after the thrill was gone. It took away the thrill and I was still trying to get it back. And how he, with me wrestling, because I just wrestled. I wrestled with God on every point. I never, you know, it's just like I wrestled. And I, like I said, for probably 8 years, I wanted to do my own thing
mm-hmm.
and still be acceptable to God. And finally, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you win. Yeah, I was tired and I was,
That happened about 8 years or so after your initial conversion.
But the journey was even, you know, God was still present. He was still working. He was still speaking. I was still hearing his voice and worshiping. Even, I don't know, that's that fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And resisting his will.
Yeah.
And, it's just like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
What? Anymore. So you're alluding to it, but more specifically, when someone follows Christ, they are choosing to follow him and not follow something else. They have to, you know, it's right there. You have to, if you're not following something else, you're giving up something else. You're choosing to do something different. What was one of the most challenging things, or whether it be at that time in your life or even present day, that you found in following Christ? Because it's obviously you're giving up something, like we said before. So what have you found most challenging in following Christ?
I don't want to say marijuana.
We can talk about that. I mean,
but that's what it was at that time.
Sure.
That's exactly what it was.
I'm glad you mentioned it. So a lot of people, it's a very controversial topic.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have different views on it. But it wasn't just like it doesn't sound like someone was just saying, well, you need to stop that because you're a Christian now. But like, what was it inside of you that thought, or realized, this is not helpful for me, or this is wrong, I need to stop it?
Well, I think it was that part of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin started to look like sin. That was one of the other things that happened, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. when all this wonderful new vision, everything looked different, looked good, but sin also started to look like sin. And I didn't know that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love some of my sins and I wanted to keep them.
Yeah.
And, so that was the, repeat your question.
Again. No, you're good. I think it's cool how God reveals things, because it's not like before you know Christ, it's not like you could go through life saying, well, I'm sinning right now or I'm sinning here.
Right.
But once you know Christ, then those things come to the surface much more easily.
Yes.
So, like with marijuana, for example, you saw it as something that was wrong, where it doesn't sound like someone was actively saying, Christine, you need to stop that or don't do that.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was the Holy Spirit, and it was under conviction. And I remember hearing a friend talk about how she was, all the things she was doing, but God was like right there, like right in the room, standing over while she was doing it. She was so mad at God for being present and convicting her of her sin while she was in the midst of it. And
you can't have it both ways. You can't desire God's presence and be upset when he is there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I know that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, what has been some of your biggest joys since accepting Christ? What, your life is no longer going in that direction, but now it's going this direction. So what are some of the joys that you've experienced that you would not experience if you didn't know Christ?
Wow. I don't think I would have any joy at all if I didn't experience Christ. And I don't, I don't understand how people get through life without the power, the presence, the comfort, you know, the security, you know, of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to a Bible study sometimes, and we talk about things about, well, what would you rather have done, this or that? It's like, no, they didn't have the Holy Spirit until after Jesus,
Pentecost. Yeah. After he rose.
It's like, what did she, I don't ever want to be in a place where I don't have the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. I like how your imagery of that waterfall, where it's like the way you described how your life was, you were such a barren and dry land, and that imagery of that water pouring down over you would just satisfy the thirsty soul, like scripture says.
Yeah.
And that's what it sounds like. Your anger was able to be quenched and eliminated, so that when you walked home and saw your mom, it was like, I'm filled. Like, I don't have to give in to these desires, because like, I have something much more powerful.
Yeah,
that
and
satisfies.
So, and I saw her, and it was just like, I could hardly even remember, It's like, what was I so mad about? Mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Well,
so
as we come to a close here, if you were to leave people listening with one big takeaway or one thing that you'd want to leave them with after hearing your story, mm-hmm. What would that be?
Just come as you are. Just come. Mm-hmm. Just come. Come to the Father. He waits with open arms. Just come. Yeah. You don't have to clean yourself up. That will be done for you. Yes. You don't have to. You do want a heart's desire to repent. Yeah. And you probably have that, whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. And your life will never be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the illustration I heard. You said, don't have to clean yourself up. That'll be done for you. It's like, you don't take a shower before you get in the shower. You know, you get in the shower to get clean. You don't say, well, I'm clean, so I'm going to go take a shower.
Right.
Otherwise, what good is Jesus' blood if you can clean yourself up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you agreed to share your story. I've learned a lot about you. I think it's been a very positive thing where other people will be able to benefit and be encouraged as a result of what Christ has done in your life.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me and for asking me. Yeah. I'm glad we did this.
The impact that Jesus Christ has had on Christine's life is truly amazing. Prior to knowing Christ, she was captivated by anger and self-indulgence, which is right in line with what Ephesians 2 verses 3 through 5 say. We, too, all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. How magnificent it was to hear Christine detail her experience of being made alive when she received God's free gift of grace by believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. May her story of redemption bring encouragement and propel each of us forward to sharing the good news with others. This concludes episode 23. Please leave a like and comment if this story encouraged you or if you'd like to share your own story of redemption. TWareProductions.com is the place to go to find more content and my contact information. See you next time on Redemption Report.